Thank you, Richard. Actually, I'm also going to be sharing some of this presentation with Stephanie Cox. So today we're just going to do the quick overview of the status reports and their role in the ATP evaluation efforts. So starting off, it's actually going to be Stephanie's going to cover the first part, which is going to be the research and the writing that goes into the reports, and going to be doing that through an example project. Once that's done, then I'm going to be going over what they call the composite performance rating system, which I'll be calling the CPRS, and take a look at how that is used for a portfolio approach to evaluate the ATP projects that contain the status report. But first of all, I just wanted to talk about what the purpose behind the status report was. ATP originally intended to measure the outcomes of completed projects against ATP's mission-driven goals. And due to the innovative nature of the ATP-funded projects and the various industries that participated, objectively rating the level of success consistently across all these projects proved to be a great challenge. So with the status reports, the measured impact of the research projects were done at a given point in time. And so we looked at short-term outputs, which included increased R&D spending and acceleration of R&D, mid-term outcomes, such as attraction of capital, new products and processes, and then the long-term impacts, which included, you know, product revenues, positive cash flow, and positive public ROI. And these resultant impacts, tend to increase and decrease with the passage of time. And so what we would do is try to research all of these projects roughly in a chronological order of when the ATP-funded period had ended as a way to kind of mitigate the effects of time on researching these outputs. And so at this point, I just want to let Stephanie talk about the overall process of the status report.
Hello. I am with a team. Well, we did have a team of 8 people with PricewaterhouseCoopers, and we were on a contract at NIST. I personally was there 5 years. We completed 150 assessments of actually a little bit more, but 150 that were finally published. And this is not a project that you do on the fly. Stated goal of ATP was to assess every single one of the reports, every single project that was ever funded. We finished 200 total, which is roughly a quarter. So that's a pretty significant sample. And what we had at our peak was 4 full-time writers and 4 support staff with data analysis, database management, database development, improving the tools, refining our processes. So it was a pretty concerted effort. And if you need a similar project, we are definitely interested. So our goal was to tell the story. What happened in this project? And we tell the good, the bad, and the ugly, although we try to highlight the good news. Okay. So we tell the truth, but we highlight any positive impact that comes out. So we roughly performed the research 5 years after the project was completed. It took 2 weeks to research each project, approximately. So we would be searching the web. We would be analyzing the patent data. We had the technical reports, all of those quarterlies and annual reports and the BRS data and all these things you've been hearing about we would be looking at. And then we wanted to translate this PhD language into plain English that an ordinary person can understand. And the purpose was for congressional oversight and just a public accountability. These reports, here's just a screenshot of a typical report, and there are several out on the table in case you're interested. They roughly are 5 to 10 pages. The shorter ones are the failures, and then the longer ones more success, and we would highlight the economic outcomes, the technical outcomes, the patents, the knowledge generated, publications, presentations, and we just tried to tell the story. And then we compiled all this data into what Lee calls the CPRS, the Composite Performance Rating System. So we had failures including projects that never got off the ground or were terminated before completion or those that showed few or no outputs. And even these projects generated lessons learned. So if you go to the ATP website and you look at the status report page, you look for completed projects, then you look under status reports and it gives you a search page. So you can, if you don't put in any criteria, you'll get all 200 reports. If you select all the zero stars, you'll see the ones that have no success at all. And you can select them according to funding year or different criteria. So I just want to use an example of project to explain our process. This was a report that I did called Abnormal Situation Management, and this is what the project was trying to avoid, chemical spills and catastrophes in plants. This was one of those collaborations that would not have happened without ATP. It included 13 companies. Many of them were large chemical companies who were competitors, and they would have not shared knowledge willingly because they would have been cutting their own throats, in a sense. So they were collaborating with Honeywell, who provided the knowledge and the IT, more or less. And then the goal was to create processes to avoid accidents. So it was called abnormal situation management, but the purpose was to optimize all the chemical processes in these chemical plants. And there were many different types of technologies, so it needed to be universally applicable information. This particular project generated 8 patents. It had more than 20 commercial products and processes. It included training applications, architecture, systems architecture, and then it ended up having a lot of spillover applications such as security. One of the things that we analyze, as we've discussed, is patents. And we used to manually create what's called a patent tree. We would take one patent, we would search the website at the USPTO website, and then figure out how many patents go back to this one, and then we'd map it out. Now we've worked with Delphion and developed this software tool. You can put in a patent, one patent, and it will automatically generate this patent tree. So you can visually see the impact of one patent. This particular project had 8 patents, and this is the patent tree for 2 of them. Some of the things that we wanted to talk about are what we call the wow factor. What was really cool about this technology? And in this project, they found, this is the before scene and the after scene, and I don't want to tell you a lot of stories, but I think the picture helps. On the left is an actual screen that from the control room that a controller would have seen, a systems operator. And on the right, you see the screens. And if you look at it online, you'll be able to see it more in detail, but you can see the entire blueprints of the facility. Then you can narrow it down to a particular building, and then you can narrow it down to a particular process. And then it's very specific for the user to be able to follow a problem. And then the control room, you can see what it looked like before and what they came up with as part of their plan. And like I said, this had many spillover applications for security and fire and rescue, emergency personnel, that kind of thing.
All right, so that was a good overview of the types of information that would go into the report. And, of course, you know, the goal here is to be able to tell the story, you know, in a way that you wouldn't be able to see just with, you know, survey data just, you know, in a database somewhere. So we wanted to be able to make these publications and put them out there. And so these are the kind of components that would go into that. However, there's another aspect to this, and that was compiling data for, as I said before, the composite performance rating system, which was, you know, here to assist in evaluating the entire portfolio of all of ATP projects. And so basically we would use the algorithm to then take a lot of the inputs that we would collect during the research phase to write these reports and come up with a system to be able to quantifiably measure the multiple paths to success, because the situation with ATP projects is, you know, with our mission where knowledge creation, knowledge dissemination, and commercialization are all components of what we consider a successful project, how you compare them across the entire portfolio. You know, for example, one project might have many reference patents but no commercial progress. Was that a failure? Another spurred extensive collaboration, you know, maybe in Stephanie's ASM example, but maybe the commercial outlook wasn't that great at the time of writing the report. Or another one might have products on the market, but they didn't have a lot of publications or patents, you know, in a sense to keep their IP private. So this was a system to try to mitigate those kind of concerns and rate, get everything an overall rating. And so a lot of the components here were, what we would do is we would take indicators in the three major areas, such as knowledge creation, knowledge dissemination, and commercialization progress. And for instance, the reason that we did the knowledge creation, which is adding to the U.S. knowledge base, was to be able to include things like technical awards, patents, a lot of things that we've been discussing already. Dissemination was also the means of getting that knowledge and, you know, applying spillovers that basically indicate, you know, progress towards broad-based benefits. And then, of course, the commercialization progress, where the technologies, you know, you would show the actual direct path into the broad-based benefits to the nation, which is all part of ATP's mission. So combining these elements into the algorithm that was developed, and I'm not going to go over that right now, it's too much algebra for after lunch, the results came out to an overall score, which we think then would compare across all the projects. So the score that was calculated, we kind of translated into terms of, you know, giving them a star rating. And those star ratings range from 0 to 4. And so the So you can take a look across and you can see then portfolio-wide of the 200 reports that were completed from our 824 awards, you can now see overall what does the portfolio of ATP projects look like in respect to its mission. And so generally speaking, the 0 and 1 star projects are projects that show little or no continuing progress towards their goals, and they usually have a pessimistic or uncertain outlook. While the 3 and 4 star projects are generally, they show continuing progress across both R&D knowledge creation, dissemination, and the commercialization, and also always have a favorable outlook. It's here that we see the effect of the high-risk research. Nearly a third of our projects had little or no progress whatsoever, which is to be expected when you have a high-risk situation. But with almost a fifth earning the 4 stars, you can see the high-reward situations as well, where because in the 4 stars, like I said, commercialization and strong knowledge creation are required in order to achieve that 4-star rating. So since I'm not going to be showing you the algorithm, I just wanted to give a better example, and I realize this might be a little too small to read. But just taking a look at 3 example projects, all from the local IT sector, with some of the categories that we had looked at, it's just a quick snapshot to kind of show the difference between what a 0-star project, a 2-star, or a 4-star would look like. In the first example, the LATS technology, which scored 0 stars, it yielded little knowledge creation, no products. The company's gone out of business, and basically the direction that they're trying to take just never materialized. And so that's, you know, a standard story with a lot of our 0 stars. In the 2-star example, L3 Communications, they yielded little knowledge creation, but they did bring one product to market. So, you know, there was an example of some kind of positive outcome here. But in the 3rd example, with Digital, with 4 stars, yielded a fair amount of knowledge creation dissemination, as well as commercial results. It had 2 products, significant employment growth, and 4 business awards related to the technology developed under ATP. So by having a large data set of project attributes and the CPRS inputs, the analysis, the analyst can dig deeper to examine other interesting results. And, for example, instead of just the star distribution across all projects, you can now take a cut and apply it to other project attributes. For instance, here's an example where we look at the distributions across different technology areas. But the one thing to remember, though, is when you're comparing these, you can't say, oh, the IT have a lot more zero star than the manufacturing, because these are all relative to ATP's mission. This is one of the major limitations of this style. It helps to assess across the projects just within, but it doesn't help to relate too much to projects that were not ATP funded. You can keep on doing more cuts with the data. You can, for instance, when you're looking at the technology areas, you can then say, well, how does that compare? You know, we saw differences in their distributions, but when you're looking at overall performance, let's take a look at what about project lead or, you know, the size type of the leading company. And there you can see that there you even have even bigger swings in overall performance when those are kind of star, the average star ratings there. And so what this does is this helps an analyst to identify areas where it might be worth looking into searching out causation. And so one example of that is with this situation, the data can be used to answer other questions. For example, what impact does collaboration have on bringing products or processes to the market? You do a chart like this where you begin looking at the average number of products or processes per project that made it into the marketplace, and then you compare it to projects with commercial collaboration versus projects without commercial collaboration. The ones with collaboration are the dark green bar. You can obviously see that there is a strong association. It doesn't necessarily mean causation, but it does help to say, okay, maybe we should look at something here. And that's where being able to have the entire story behind the status reports helps, because you can go back and glean the reports for all the information to find out what the real story was. So that was kind of our quick overview into the uses of the status reports and the CPRS, the process of creating all these mini case studies and calculating the general performance score of an entire portfolio of R&D projects was challenging but also rewarding. The finished project was very rich with information, and it carried a lot of evaluation potential. But sometimes, however, the time-intensive process had a lot of drawbacks as well, and at sometimes were not maybe the best answer. But luckily, we were able to mitigate those with the use of a more distilled and dynamic form of reporting, which is actually going to be the topic of our next presenter, Prasad. I know it put discussion and questions, but since he's going to go right after me, I think we're just going to hold discussion until afterwards so we can keep it combined. So, thank you.